Hello, and welcome to show number 2410 of Eyes on Success, a weekly program covering a wide variety of topics of interest to people with vision loss. I'm Nancy Goodman-Torpy.
And I'm Pete Torpy.
It's quite a challenge to keep things simple because you also need all the functions to use your phone. So it's always a balance for us, and trying to make it as simple as possible is the goal there.
And today we'll be talking about a really elegant little device that can really help you work with your phone.
We'll speak with Freek van Welsenis, co-founder of Habel, about the Habel One external keyboard designed to make using a smartphone simpler and more convenient for people with visual impairments. We'll talk to him about the intuitive design of this pocket-sized device and how it can be used to control your smartphone and also enter Braille text. But first, for our tip of the week. This week's tip comes from Freek van Welsenis.
My tip of the week would be, if you've never started learning Braille or you're never dared to try it on, my tip would be, give it a try. I've actually met several people over the last few weeks who are we started learning Braille after the age of 80, and we are very happy that they don't use it for simple things like label making, and some of them even to read books. My tip would be, Braille's super difficult. It's quite a challenge, but give it a try. Maybe it's for you. You never know.
That is a great tip, that you're never too old to learn. I'm impressed that someone over 80 learned Braille. But I guess if you just learn the simple things, you don't need to be too sophisticated.
If you know what your goal is, yeah, you can just do it even at that age.
I know just enough Braille so that when Pete labels our different painkiller bottles, I can tell the difference between Tylenol and Motrin.
Quite important too. <That's
great>. Yes.
Yeah.
Support for Eyes on Success is provided by
Biped.ai, whose smart mobility harness can be worn by the blind to warn of obstacles and assist navigating using GPS in a single device. Demonstrations of the Biped device will be given at the CSUN conference March 18th through 22nd. More information is available at biped.ai.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. Success, 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 success.
Let's start by meeting Freek and learning about Habel, the company.
So, hi, my name is Freek van Welsenis. I'm from the Netherlands, and I'm one of the co-founders of a company called Habel. We started Habel around 3 years ago as a startup, which was an idea next to our studies. And we've now developed two products. Sort of one of them is the Habel One, which is a Braille keyboard for the smartphone. And I'm super excited to be here today and tell you a bit more about what we do.
And what is your background? How did you get into this?
Yeah, so I always like to say I have a very social background. So when my younger sister, she has a mental disability, and my younger brother has multiple disabilities, and both my parents work in healthcare. So I've always had this social angle from whenever I can remember. But I've always also been interested in technology. I studied at technical universities, at applied mathematics and industrial engineering. So bringing both worlds together is really where my passion lies. Thinking about technology and how we can use it to assist people with disabilities to do more and to be able to achieve more.
So your brother and sister have disabilities, but neither of them has a vision impairment. How did you get into making a product for the blind?
Yeah, that's correct. So to be honest, that is a complete coincidence. I'm one of the two co-founders of my company. And my co-founder's name is Ayushman Talwar, and he comes from India. And Ayush actually traveled to the Netherlands to study in the Netherlands. But back in India, he was living with his grandfather, and his grandfather lost his vision at a later stage in life. And whenever he would call back home and want to call his grandfather, he realized it was never just his grandfather on the phone, but it was his mother, his father, or his grandma picking up the phone. And he said, okay, I think I should be able to help him do it all by himself. And that's where the idea of Habel was born. And he was pitching this in a random classroom at our university with more than 20,000 students. And by a coincidence, I was sitting in that room listening to that story. And I just thought, I think that's such an amazing story and such a cool idea. maybe I can participate. And that's how it all started. And we by accident became entrepreneurs.
How big is your team besides the two of you?
We're now at 7 people.
Wow, full time?
Yeah, 6 FTE.
Wow, cool.
Yeah, yeah. And we're at the point where we've raised our initial investment. So that was 2.5 years ago. Since we've never raised an investment because we're just fine from our own revenue. So that was a big step for us.
That is a big step.
Yeah. And now we made a little profit last year and the year before, and that's now we're reinvesting for our next product. So,
wow. Oh, I'm impressed. That's pretty good in 3 years, and it's kind of a niche market.
Yeah. Good for you.
Yeah. Yeah. We're very happy with it. So hope we can continue. Yeah.
Yeah.
Support for Eyes on Success comes from our listeners and corporate sponsors.
For more information about airing promotional items on the show, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net.
This week's focus topic is the Habil One external keyboard designed to make using a smartphone simpler and more convenient for people with visual impairments.
Well, you gave us a great introduction to how you got into making the Habil device, and we'll talk a little bit more specifically about what it does. But tell me first how you came up with the name.
So Habil comes from the Spanish hablar, or like speaking. And we were thinking of different names, and then we found the name Habil. And it's cool because it speaks, because it helps you communicate. And we want to help people with communication, but also because it has the word able in there when we say it in English. So we enable people to work with technology. So it's that way, it just fits really well for what we try to do.
So we're sitting here looking at one of these devices, but none of our listeners can see it because this is an audio-only program. Can you describe what the device is and what it does?
Yeah, of course. I'll give it my best, but feel free to add on, because it's quite difficult sometimes to describe because it's quite a new device. So the Habil One, it's like a remote control for your phone or for your tablet. So that's how I would describe it. It's around the same size as the older iPhones, like the iPhone SE or older Android phones. So it fits right in your pocket. And it has on one side, it has 8 buttons, out of which 2 buttons would be function keys and 6 buttons are there to type in Braille. There's an on and off slider to turn the device on and off. There's a charging port with USB-C for charging your device. And there are, is a place where you can attach a lanyard strap. This device communicates with your phone over or tablet over Bluetooth, and it helps you for inputting things on your phone or on your tablet. So for example, I could type a text in Braille on my phone. I could access my voiceover. I could access my talkback. I could unlock my phone. All these things I can do from the Habil One. Now, how does this work? On one side, there are 8 buttons. And then these 8 buttons, they would face away from you. So imagine holding your phone, but you're not holding your phone normally. You would actually hold it in a landscape mode. And then the buttons would be on the backside of your phone. So you would hold your phone with 2 hands, buttons on the back, and you would type towards yourself. So press the buttons towards you. That's how you would hold the Habil. Now, different combinations of buttons will do different things, like swiping for your phone, typing a text, whatever you want to do. Really, you can fully use the phone with just those 8 buttons. And because of the way you're holding it, and the idea is that you don't need a desk, you don't need a surface, you can really hold it, like use your phone even while standing. Your phone can be safely in your pocket or in your bag, and you just use the Habil One to fully control it, and you get feedback from audio. And these can be audio from the phone or the tablet, or it can be via Bluetooth earphones, for example.
And you can use those buttons as a Braille keyboard, correct?
Yes, so you can use it as a Braille keyboard, or you can use it to navigate over your phone, so to access your talkback or voiceover.
And I would just like to add, the main device is black and it's matte, so it's not shiny and it's a little bit rough to the touch. And the buttons are all glossy, so they're very smooth to the touch. And the 6 dots down the middle that you would use as a Braille keyboard, they're very high contrast white on this black background.
Exactly. That's a good addition. Thanks.
I don't know if you're familiar with this device, but Years ago, the American Printing House made a device called the Bookport Plus. And they actually had an interesting design. It was essentially a book reader, but it had a telephone-like keyboard with the numbers 0 through 9 on it. And they had a method where you could turn the device around and use the keys, sort of like a Braille keyboard, to enter text in Braille. And I thought, what a neat design that was, because using a telephone keypad to punch in numbers was a real pain. And I was wondering why no one ever picked up on that type of design to input Braille. So I was glad to see that, you know, this device really works well in that mode. It's quite impressive and it's easy to use.
Thanks. Yeah, I think the reason why we did this, like putting the Braille on the back, is indeed because it's actually surprisingly intuitive, I would say. We had this response from so many people that they say initially you think, oh, it's a different way of using it, but once you start, it's super intuitive. Like at some point it just clicks, and it's a great way to use, because you don't need to put it down anymore. You can really use it while holding, and super comfortable. So it's just a new design, but well, it's actually an older design that we put into a new form.
Yeah, it's a great way of inputting Braille. As you say, it was a little intimidating at first when I looked at the manual and I saw all these different functions and options, how to control the phone, and I thought, this will be difficult to learn, but it really is quite intuitive. I mean, the keystrokes that you made for doing particular functions were pretty intuitive. Every once in a while I forget, but then you just look at the manual and you can quickly find what keystroke combination does the function you want to perform. And of course, inputting Braille is pretty easy if you know Braille. You can even type in contracted Braille.
Yeah, exactly. And actually, what's quite interesting, so it is based on Braille. And if you're a Braille user, I think it's super intuitive and you can get started really easily. But quite interestingly, and this is something we didn't actually initially anticipate, is a lot of people who use the HAVE 1 are not Braille users, or they sometimes have use Braille in the past, but often these are people who don't regularly use Braille, but they start doing it with the HAVE 1. It's just input, so I think that's where the kind of the magic lies. Just input of Braille, so you need to remember the combinations, but that's it. You don't need to also learn yourself to feel the dots. But I think that's actually a nice thing to mention. A lot of people who use it are not Braille users normally, but with the HAVE 1 they just started, and it's still, you learn it really quickly.
Right. I don't use Braille that often myself either. You know, I'll often take a large Bluetooth keyboard when I'm on vacation, and that's kind of bulky and all, and I'll use a QWERTY keyboard. But, you know, just knowing the Braille I knew, it was very easy to input Braille. And I found that was a good way to learn because, like I said, at first you can be overwhelmed by the number of functions this can perform. But I started out just by typing in edit fields and just getting familiar with the keyboard. And then later on, you pick up extra commands at a time, how to move between words, how to move between letters, how to highlight words, how to activate items on the display of your phone. So I think if you go at it one step at a time and pick up each function individually, it makes it a little less intimidating to learn.
Yeah, I think that's the right way to do it. One of course, the benefits is that everything you do, you get direct feedback. You hear what you're doing. So if I type a letter or if I do a function, I hear your voiceover, your talk, but you hear it speak out what you're doing. So it's quite nice that you always have your feedback, so you know if you did it right or wrong. And most actions we put in there, if you want to go a step back, you can reverse the action. For example, swiping forward or swiping backwards, you can reverse it. So one of them is holding button 7 and pressing 8, and the other way around is holding button 8 and pressing 7. And we did this, so it's quite intuitive that whenever you do something wrong, you always know how to get a step back. I hope that helped with you as well.
Now, you also have a configuration set up in there for people who want to set up with different languages or different ways of using the device. Tell us a little bit about the configuration menu.
Yeah, we have the menu inside HAVE 1, and it does a few things. There's one indeed that changes your language, so you can change from English to French to Spanish to German to Dutch, whatever language you want to pick. And it also there has grade 1 and grade 2. Another thing you can switch between is from iOS to Android mode. And third thing where you can switch is actually you can flip the buttons. So for some people, it's more intuitive when button 3 and button 1 and button 4 and 6 are switched around. So we just made this option for the group where it's more intuitive. And the final thing that we added in is a one-hand mode. That's what we like to call it. So it's that's kind of the easy version of the Habl, where each button is just one function. It's a really Habl in its basic form, and it's a bit more for a different audience. So people who really struggle using the phone, who don't like swiping, who say, hey, I just want to use the basics of my phone. I just want to have single buttons that I can press to use it. So that's all actually in the Habl 1. You can switch that in the menu, and we just try to give people some more options to use the Habl to make it a bit more intuitive for them.
So you mentioned a handful of languages that you could use the Habl in. How many languages does it work in?
Top of my head, it's around 20 right now.
Wow.
And just to be complete, there is a USB-C port on the device that enables you to charge its internal battery. And then I guess you can also do some updating of the firmware of the device.
Yes. So the USB-C port is for charging the battery. And the battery lasts around a month if you use it every single day. It's a really long battery life. It's also the most asked support question is from people who say, hey, my Habl doesn't work anymore. And we asked them if they've charged it, and they didn't know you would ever have to charge the device. The battery lasts really long. And indeed, we do software updates. We do them a few times a year to add new functions. For example, the one-handed mode was added recently. And it used to be for the computer, but now you can actually do software updates fully over the app. So we have a Habl app on iOS and Android. And there you press a single button and your Habl will get updated. So it's a great, easy way to update your device to make sure it's always compatible with the newest phones.
So you can update it via the Bluetooth connection. You don't actually have to plug in the cable?
That's correct.
Wow, that's handy.
Yeah, it's actually, so it used to be over the computer, but for us, our one thing that we always try to keep back on is making things more simple, more easy, and using a computer and using a cable, then putting it in your computer, then using the program there, it's several steps. And now it's just you download an app, you keep the app on your phone, and whenever there's a new update, you press update in the app, and when your Habl is connected, and it updates the Habl automatically. And I think it's just a more seamless process, and we always try to make things easier, because it just gives a better experience for people using it.
Well, you know, I think that's great when developers are very conscious of the user and making things easy. Sometimes devices can have all the functions you want, but they're a nuisance to use. They're a nuisance to memorize. And you really paid attention to making it intuitive, as you said, very simple to use. There really isn't a lot to know. You just need to practice with the device and get used to it.
Yeah. And I mean, even in our manuals, we have a manual, but we also have a starting guide. So just a place to get started, and chapter by chapter, you'll learn to use it, from how to hold it, to connecting, to the basic navigation. So it's really something we try to let's come back in all the things we make and all the things we do. But it's quite a challenge to keep things simple, because you also need all the functions to use your phone. So it's always a balance for us, and trying to make things as simple as possible is the goal there.
Oh, I'll bet. People take engineering for granted sometimes, and design of products. I mean, we're both involved in making printers at Xerox when we worked there, and there's always trade-offs to be made between the technology and how the user will use it, making sure different kinds of users can use it, etc. It's not easy.
Yeah, but it's also, it's also the most fun, right? I think for me, at least, it's so much fun to kind of try different setups and then try, okay, what happens if we change these functions? And we have a super cool group of people that always help us in this like beta stage of testing the product and giving a lot of feedback. And I think that's so much fun to do. And so many times we've been so wrong, where I thought, oh, we have this new feature, we should put it on. And then everyone in the beta group was like, well, this is mostly just complicated. It's a good realization that we got this feedback before launching it. So it's the biggest challenge, but also one of the most fun things with designing the product.
So tell us a little bit about the design process, how the device came together in terms of the hardware and the software, and who you used to beta test this.
Yes. So, both me and my co-founder are sighted. We don't have a visual impairment. So one of the first things we knew was that we had to create a really big group of people around us who would potentially want to use the device. who could give us feedback, test it, etc. So I'm happy we realized this early on in our journey. And to be honest, that's the group that really designed the product mostly. Of course, we had the ideas, we built it, but all the feedback from that group is what really made Advice as it is today. And this is a group, we're from the Netherlands, so it's a super small country. And in the Netherlands, we had a group of around 150 people that we tested all the different prototypes with, that we talked to almost on a daily basis to get feedback from, and they started using the first versions. And that's how it was built. So initially, all the way back, we actually designed it to be as a phone case. But that's one of the first things we got as feedback from that group, saying, hey, it would actually be so much better if it's separate because my phone can stay safely in my pocket and I just want to use the Hable One and just use this device to control everything. So feedback like that completely changed how we designed the device, both the hardware and the software. But that's really the group that made it what it is today. And that's something we still try to do. And the app for updating also comes from feedback from our users, from our community. And that's something that even to this day with this product, we want to continuously use that feedback to make new updates.
Well, that's great that you got all that feedback. That is so important to get feedback from actual users. Sometimes sighted people develop things for the blind and they think they know how blind people are going to use their devices and they might be totally wrong.
Yeah. Oh, I've seen many cases where that happens. Yes. Yeah.
Did they actually teach you all of these concepts in school? I'm really impressed that somebody so fresh out of university was able to internalize the concept of, getting customer feedback.
A lot of things we never learned. We just kind of learned by making mistakes. Our first device was the first ever small prototype we made within our full four walls of the office. And it was awful, to be honest. It was an awful idea because we never user tested. So then we had this learning, of course, why are we doing this? We need to create this group. So we learned from our mistake and then changed to working with so many people who helped us. And that's something that I think we still try to do to this day. Just do it, learn from our mistakes, learn from what we did, and then try to be better the next time we do this. A lot of it, I would want to take credit, but it's also just learning from our own mistakes and doing it wrong before and having a lot of wonderful people around us that have helped us so much.
Now, you talked a bit about the design process and engineering the device to actually get a device, and that's kind of just the first part of the problem. And I'm kind of curious, especially coming from such a small country, the next thing to think about was to market the device, distribute it, and sell it around the world. How did you approach some of those challenges?
Yes, this was quite a challenge. One of the challenges we had is that we needed funding. It's a hardware device, and to launch a hardware, I was still a student. My co-founder was just finished his master's, and we were broke, and we had to develop these prototypes into an actual product, and that's very. Yeah, of course, super expensive to do the whole industrialization, but also getting inventory in and starting getting some budget for marketing. And so we had to first raise investment, which is a big challenge because none of all the investors that we went to ever heard even of the market of products for blind people. And all of them kept telling us it's too small of a market, so you won't be able to raise investment. But I think we persisted for long enough and we found a great partner that helped us with this. And we raised our first investment. We could focus on initializing the product. And then our first users really were the ones that pushed the product, at least in the Netherlands. They told their friends, we told their friends. And that's really where we got our first push. But we also knew that the Netherlands would be too small for us and for this product. So we, from the first day we officially launched, we never just launched in the Netherlands. We already started and go to the UK and Belgium, which are very close both to the Netherlands. Where we launched with a big partner. So in the UK with the RNIB Inside and Sound, which are probably the two biggest organizations in the UK. And in Belgium also with a large distributor. And we did this just via our connections and calling them and sending them our product and just hoping they would like it, which they luckily did. And that's how we got started. So a lot of help from connections and just keep on going, I guess.
And is the Hable now available worldwide?
I think it's available in a little over 20 countries. And the reason that it's not available worldwide is just the languages. So not in every country support the languages. There will be a lot of new language introductions this year. So it's in quite some countries, not yet worldwide.
Now, this is called the Hable 1. Does that mean you have plans for future versions or other devices?
Yes. One of the reasons why it's called the Hable 1 is because after thinking of the name Hable, our creativity run out. Now, it's we knew when we launched the Hable 1, we always had a desire to at least get the next version of the product. And that's still the plan. So we still have the plan to develop the Hable 2. Unfortunately, I can't say anything about the timeline or what will be on it, but at some point it will be there.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. Success, 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 success.
Now for this week's final item, how to learn more about the Hable 1 keyboard, how to get one, and how to contact them.
Well, if people are interested in finding out more about the Hable or actually acquiring one, what would you advise them?
Yeah, so all the information about Hable's on our website, which is imhable.com. It's imhable.com. This is a great way to find information, also see all the partners that we work with where you could order the device if you're interested. You can order it with us, but also we work with around 15 different distributors in the US. There's also now an option to buy directly on Amazon. The Hable 1 is available on Amazon now, so that's also a great way to find it. And the last thing I would really advise is to check our social medias. So we actually make a video every day since last 5 months, sharing all sorts of tips and tricks around using your phone with a visual impairment. So not exclusively to the Hable 1, but in all different ways, because we learned so much over the last year. We kind of want to give all of the information away. And that's what we do on our socials, from YouTube to Instagram to TikTok to Facebook. And we even have a newsletter. And all of it you can find by searching for Hable 1 there. So I think that's the best way to find more information about this and if you want to hear more.
So if anybody had a question, how would you suggest that they contact you?
Yeah, the best way to contact us is via our support email, which is the same as our website handle. It's support@imhable.com.
As usual, if you missed any of that information in the audio, you can always find it with the show notes associated with this episode, which is episode 2410, at our website, www.eyesonsuccess.net.
That's it for this week's show. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be doing an encore of an old show about long-distance hiking. A long hike can be much more than a walk in the woods. We'll talk with Carl Ritter, also known as Bats, about long-distance hiking, including his end-to-end hike on the 2,200-mile-long Appalachian Trail. Carl has very little vision and did the first 500 miles alone. Learn how he used other senses and tools to compensate, as well as what was in his first aid kit.
Thanks for joining us this week. Tell a friend about Eyes on Success, and we hope you'll join us next week.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
You can access the full archive of previous shows, subscribe to the podcast, and much more by going to our website, www.eyesonsuccess.net. If you have questions about anything you've heard on the show or have suggestions for future shows, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net.
Thank you for listening and have a nice day.